Okay, today's daf is Svachim Daf Ayin, last daf in the seventh parak, and we are on Samach Tes Amud Beis. We will be starting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 lines up from the bottom by the word Of Tame. 6 lines up from the bottom. Yesterday we were discussing on Amud Beis the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, whether if someone does a malika of a bird and it turns out to be a trefa, there's a problem with the bird not related to the malika. It had a previous problem. It was a trefa. So, what is the halacha? So, Rabbi Meir says that that malika accomplishes something. That malika makes it not have tumas nevela. It's not like the animal just died when it would be tamei mishum nevela. What kind of nevela? When it comes to a bird, that's only tumah beveis ablia. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there is tumah. And we saw that really there are three shitas in the Tanaim. Rabbi Meir, it starts off with shchita of a behema. Shchita of a behema, all these cases are trefa. Shchita of a behema, that's a trefa, so everybody agrees in that case. That the animal does not have tumas nevela. Then one step up, Rabbi Yossi adds in even the shchita of a chulin bird is betar midei nevela. And Rabbi Meir says the most Mekel Shita, and that is even Malika of a bird, because you learn out from the Kavachomer and then the Mamatsinu, piggybacking, that it applies even to Malika's Of as well. That is the Machlokas quoted in the Mishnah. But then in the Gemara, we tried to figure out exactly what the sources were of these Shitas, because after all, Remeir has to hold to the principle of Dayo, so how could he jump and say, where we learn to, maybe he's even more than where we learn from. So the Gemara says, really, he has a source. Thank you. Really, he has a source of a pasuk. Zos Torah Sabahema v'ha'of, and what's the connection between the behema and the oaf in the pasuk? So the Gemara says, the connection is that just like a behema, so to an oaf in terms of no tumas nevela. So we went through Rabbi Meir's shita. Then we started discussing Rabbi Yehuda's shita. What is the basis for Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Malika's oaf trefa does not mitar it midei nevela. That is Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda says it only applies, he is the most machmir Shita, so to speak, it's only by Shchitas Behema, not even by Shchitas Of, let alone Malikas Of. Right, that's what Rashi points out in the top Rashi on Samach Tes Amud Beis, that really there are three Shitas, and Rabbi Yehuda argues even by Shchitas Chulin Trefa. That is Rabbi Yehuda. So what is the source for Rabbi Yehuda Shitas? That is what we're talking about over this Amud. So first we try to say, it's based on a Pasuk, where Nevela and Trefa are linked to the Pasuk. They're linked in a couple of Pasukim, which we're going to talk about now. Just remember what we discussed in the past. I didn't bring it again. Reb Chaim's Chiddush, and that is, lumdus-wise, there is a connection between Nevela and Trefa. Even though it seems to be two separate problems, Nevela means an animal died without a proper Shechita, or I messed up in the Shechita, an animal just dies, that's a Nevela. Trefa usually is understood to mean that the animal had a good Shechita, but had a different problem. It had the hole in the lung, it had one of the 18 trefas listed off in the second paragraph of Maseches Chulin. So that is usually looked at as a separate problem. But Reb Chaim in his Bar Mitzvah Pshetel said that no, really there's Shem Echad of Nevela and Trefa. The Rambam says those two Yisroel can be Mitztaref. Right, there are other riyas to this, but this whole discussion, a lot of what's behind it is that lambda. So keep that in mind as we do this Amud. So Rabbi Yehuda, back to the Gemara. So Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara asks, what is his source? So the Gemara quoted a source by Tumah. So the pasuk connects Nevela and Trefa regarding Tumah. This is all background because it's all building of what we're about to do today. That's why we have to chazer this and have it clear in our heads. So the Gemara puts Nevela and Trefa together in the pasuk of Tumah. So why does it do that? So where it says, does Chaya, is Trefa Chaya? Is Trefa Ena Chaya? What's the halacha by a Trefa? Is it going to live? Is it not going to live? So the Gemara says, Lemaisa, the word Trefa in the pasuk is extra, so it must be including that there's Tumas Nevela even if you shech the Trefa. That's Rabbi Yehuda's mucker. Why does it say the word trefa in the pasuk? It must be telling me that even if I shech the trefa, it's going to be tame. So then the Gemara says, one minute, there's another pasuk that has nevela and trefa in it. And there, too, we try to figure out what that word trefa is teaching me, and we darshan it in a certain way. And the Gemara says, if you darshan it in that certain way in the second pasuk, lechora, you darshan it in that same way in the first pasuk. And if that's true, there's no pasuk open to teach me Rabbi Yehuda's din. That's the last thing we did yesterday. We brought the pasuk by Chelev. Chelev Nevela and Chelev Shrefa are not Mitame. And we end up saying, what does that mean? It comes to teach me that Shrefa, right, mixes Behema, Eina Mitame, mixes Behema Mitame, Veza Shrefa Sheshachta. It tells me that the basar of a Behema, Lachar Shchit, is not Mitame. Only by an oath, the shechita is not mitaharas. So the Gemara says, what do you use it for? The last thing we did, Ella, about 8 lines off the bottom, treifa mi boi lelemuti temeya, mi sheish bemina treifa, yatadu sheim bemina treifa, so achanami lelemuti of tami sheim bemina treifa. Lomaskana, that pasuk by Chelev, the word treifa is excluding a non-kosher bird. A non-kosher bird does not have, is excluded, lemuti, Lemute Temea Mishiish Pamina Trefa, because a non-kosher bird doesn't have a trefa in its category. Yatsu Shame Pamina Trefa, excluding this. So ask the Gemara if that's how we darshan it by the Chelev Pasik, so too that is how we must darshan it by the Tumas Nevela Pasik. And if that's what we darshan, that is coming to teach me to exclude non-kosher birds, so the pasuk is not open to teach Rabbi Yehuda's din. What's the whole thing we're trying to learn here? What he says in our Mishnah, that if Malika of an oaf trefa is mitame, meaning it does not save it from Tumas Nevela, it's still tame. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's din, but we now have no source open to teach me that halacha. That's where we're up to, 6 lines from the bottom. I just wanted to quote you one source, and that is related to the sugya, which is a big, big sugya. We'll come back to Rabbi Hashem this summer, and that is Shchitas, Trefa chaya or trefa ena chaya. That is a machlokas and meseches chulin, whether a trefa lives or not. Very difficult to understand. Is that a machlokas and metzias? Does a trefa live? What does that mean? Does it live 20, a year or not? If the animal with this, so why don't you just check? How can there be a machlokas about it? So that's a challenging machlokas to make a machlokas in Lundis and not just a machlokas in metzias. But Rav Dessler, in a footnote that we've quoted before, in Chelik Dalet, page 355 and 356, he has a very important footnote regarding many of these types of sugyas where the Gemara seems to have one metzias, and nowadays, we don't know what that metzias is. For example, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that one is allowed to kill lice on Shabbos. How to kill lice on Shabbos. Why? Because they are not parin v'ravin. They do not reproduce in the normal way. Right? They are spontaneous generation. Right? Or the types of fruit flies that the Gemara used to think. At least the Gemara seems to think. I shouldn't say used to think. The Gemara seems to think that they are created from the fruit. And not that they are, as we think to know now, that they are drawn to the fruit. Not that they are created from the fruit. So it seems to be that certain chazals are based, and halacha, it changes. Halacha says you're allowed to kill lice because they're not part of a raven. But what about Bezman Hazeh? When we know that they are part of a raven. So you're allowed to kill, lice, kinim, on Shabbos? Or the Gemara talks about the halacha of Mayim Shalanu, the Gemara in Psachim. The way that we cook, that we bake matzahs, we have to have water left overnight, in a barrel, and we can't take water straight out of the river. Discussion, what about the tap? What does that consider? L'chanchila, we leave it over. Why? Because the Rishonim explained the Gemara seem to assume that in the morning, after the sun has gone under the water and warmed it overnight, so how can we use that water? There's more of a chashash chimutz because the water is water in the morning since the sun cooked it. The sun was under the earth after all. So that's why we have to use Mayim Shalanu. So again, we know that the sun's not moving, it's the earth that's moving, right? At least around what's moving around what. So does the halacha change? Is the halacha based on that? So these and others, and he talks about this case of trefa. Does a trefa live or not? Some cases that the Gemara says don't live, do live. Some cases that do live, don't live. So how do we understand all of these? So says Rav Dessler, the halacha is the halacha, according to Chazal, in kemat all cases. The reasons given in the Gemara are one of many reasons. One of many reasons. A, we could say that we don't understand the reasons. Number two, we might say that there's a different, a deeper idea that is happening here, not just what the Gemara is saying. Maybe the water in the morning doesn't really mean, and he goes through each one, doesn't mean that the sun cooks it. It means it's as if the sun cooks it. Based on certain heat, it just says that, so it's easier for us to understand. So says Rav Dessler, we can't. The halacha generally does not change, even though the metziah seems to change. You got to work out each one. The one with kinim is a little more difficult. Maybe he says that because it looks like ain't parin v'ravin, that therefore halachically it's not significant. and it's as if it's not Paran Varavin, even though, yes, of course it's Paran Varavin. But because you can't see it Paran Varavin, except with a microscope, so then that's why it has the halacha of in Paran Varavin. So everyone could be kvetched into a, how could we, kvetched in a good way, not in a bad way, but that's why you have to explain all of these. Again, you approach these with the emuna of the Mesorah, and that's why we have to see these in a vacuum. If somebody shows up at Gemara and sees these, they're like, oh, kind of, what's going on here? But based on the 98% of Shas, which has infinite wisdom that we do understand, the other 2% that are more challenging, we have to see in that larger framework, and if we can't figure it out, the Chisaron's in us. The Chisaron is not in the Gemara. Okay, weiter. Six lines from the bottom. So says the Gemara, as the Gemara, so we're stuck, we don't have a source, a pasuk open for Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Of Tamei Rabbi Yehuda mi Nevelon Afgalei. 1 minute. You're telling me that the pasuk, remember we have two psukim with the words Nevelon Trefin in it. The first one is about Tumah, which is the one he wanted to use, and the second one is about Chelev. So we said the second one is excluding a non-kosher bird, so the first one will also be excluding a non-kosher bird. Nothing to do with Trefa. So the Gemara says, no. Rabbi Yehuda learns a non-kosher bird from somewhere else. Of Tamil Rabbi Yehuda min Nevelon Afgalei. He learns it from a different pasuk. So therefore, what's going to be the maskana? So this pasuk is going to be open to learn his halacha. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yachol Tehei Nevelas Of Tamei, Metal Begadim Beis Abliya. I might think that a non-kosher bird creates Tumas Nevela for Beis Abliya. Tamalomar nevela utrefa lo yochal. You can't eat nevela and trefa. Mishi isuro mishum baltocha nevela. Yatzazesh ain't isuro mishum baltocha nevela. Ela mishum baltocha tame. Nevela and trefa only are asur by animals where the only isur is because the reason you can't eat it is because of nevela and trefa. But it's asur because it's not kosher. So the nevela and trefa are not chal. That is what we learn, and therefore the tamei bird is excluded from there. So therefore, at this stage, we're back to the original pasuk. So the pasuk is open to teach us that malika of an of trefa does not remove its tumas nevela according to Rabbi Yehuda. Hanami, so Hanami, the Gemara says 1 minute. Tepiklei, learn that. Tepiklei, learn this all. Chelev tamei. We're going back on the second. Typically, mi v'chelev v'chelev nevela. Mi she'isuro mishum bal tochal chelev yatzah chelev nevela yatzah zu she'ein isuro mishum bal tochal chelev nevela. So what elam mishum tamei? So what about the second pasuk? The second pasuk also you don't need to exclude a non-kosher bird from the chelev isur. You can learn it from this svara, and therefore, so now both of them are extra. So originally we said both are not extra. We're like, so both are extra. What are you going to do? So what are you going to do with the second extra pasuk? And if you don't have anything to do with it, then it means that the whole drasha must be faulty. So what do you say? So Ella, the Gemara says, no. Hi trefa mi baila su yechaya. That trefa is coming to include chaya. What's the difference with a chaya? Well, meaning in contrast to a behema. A chaya, an undomesticated animal. Why? When do we say this halacha applies? When there's a difference in halacha between the chaylev and the basar. By a behema, it's chaylev, it's asr to eat, and it's basar is mutter to eat. But by a chaya, even the chaylev is allowed to be eaten. The chaylev is mutter by a chaya. So therefore, what would have been the halamina? Well, the chaylev is just like the basar. And since, in terms of when you could eat them, but if they're the same in terms of eating, it must be the same in terms of tumas nevela as well. So just like the basar is b'tamei mishum nevela, I would have said that chaylev of a chaya is also tamei mishum nevela, because it has the status of basar. Kamash malan, that's why you need that pasuk. You need that pasuk to include chaya, that a chaya is also, there's no tumas nevela by a chaya if it is shechted properly, and that's what that pasuk is teaching me. So says the Gemara 1 minute. Amale maishna tameya dein chalak dein chelba chalak mipsara. You're being mechalik now between a non-kosher animal and a chaya. For 1 minute. By a non-kosher animal dein chelba chalak mipsara. The chelav and the basar do not have any distinctions between them. Meaning they're both usher to eat by a non-kosher animal. So chaya nami ein chelba chalak mipsara. So too by a chaya they're both mutter to eat. So therefore, if you're telling me that's the same status of basar, and that's why we would have thought that only the basar by a behema, we had the halacha of the chalev is not tamei, but I would have thought by a chaya it is tamei. So why should there be any difference between a chaya and a non-kosher animal? Both of them, the chaya and the basar, are the same halachas. If you say one is tamei mishum nevela, the other one should be tamei mishum nevela. And if you say it's not tamei mishum nevela, like chaya, so you should say the same thing by a non-kosher animal. Va'od, and also, besides the drasha that you should have said, but haksiv achol lo tochlu, we know later on that a chela v'chaya is tamei. So our drasha is wrong. We're going to have later on achol lo tochlu, that extra lashon of eat it, don't eat it. That's telling me that it's even tamei mishum nevela, the chela v'chaya. So the drasha is not only wouldn't be consistent between a chaya and a non kosher animal, but it would be wrong because later on we know that a chaya's chela is tamei. So ela amar abaya. Little bit more, we're trying to salvage, we're trying to rehabilitate this source before we just throw it away and try to get another source for Rabbi Yehuda. But Ella Amar Baya Trefa Lagufe Estrich. Maybe the word trefa in the Pasuk is teaching me Lagufe to be mita in the second Pasuk. Remember there are two psukim that we keep talking about. The first one was about Tumas Avela, the second one was about Chalim. Just keep those two psukim in mind and it'll be clear. So Abaya says, Trefa Lagufa Yitzrich. Trefa is needed to tell me the halacha itself, to tell me that Chalev Trefa that died is Tahar. Says the Gemara, Shalot Tomar, why? Hoel v'temeya asura mechayim. V'trefa asura mechayim. Just like a non-kosher animal, you're not allowed to eat when it's alive. Right? Meaning, not when it's alive. Even when it's alive, it's already, you could foresee that it's asur. And it'll never be mutter. Because it's a non-kosher. So to trefa, you could already foresee, even when it's alive. And therefore, you should have the comparison. Ma tameya chelba tame. Just like tameya, it's chelav is tame. So I have trefa chelba tame. So to its trefa, it's chelav is tame. And that's why you need the pasuk to tell me otherwise. Right? That's the second pasuk. What it's teaching me. So Gemara says, I hachi, so hainami. So if that's what the second pasuk is teaching me, so to in the first pasuk, you could have had a similar havamina. Hainami mi boy as follows. Shalot tomar, hoel va'of tami asur ba'achila. Or the first pasuk is talking about the ofos. Just like a non-kosher bird is asur to eat. V'trefa asur ba'achila, and the trefa is asur also to eat. Ma'of tami eno mitame, av trefa eno mitame. So to a trefa, and that's why you would have needed that pasuk to tell me otherwise. So again, that would be against Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is trying to use that pasuk to teach me that a malikas of trefa is mitame. Va'od, and also, just knocking out this pasuk, mi ika lamela trefa mi tameya, and the Gemara says, one second, can you even, what's the havamina? We're saying that would be the havamina to compare a non-kosher bird to trefa in the second pasuk, so you would say that parallel drasha in the first pasuk, but what's the havamina to even compare a trefa to a non-kosher animal? It's two different types of problems. Tameya lo haisalasha sa kosher. Tameya was never had a kosher, it was never in the parsha. It was always excellent. Right when it was born, it was aser. Trefa ha'islash asa kosher. But a trefa, at least, most of the time, became nitraf. It wasn't created. It wasn't born with this problem. It became nitraf. So therefore, maybe it fell down at some point, right? Or the problem grew. So how can you can even compare the havamina trefa and in a temeya? The chitem, and if you want to say, but trefa mi bethan meikel meimar, there are some animals that are born nitraf. Some animals that have a problem even when they're bored. So, b'mina mihaika, at least it's min. The min of trefa, the category that a trefa is in is of a kosher animal, and therefore most kosher animals do not have a problem mi beten from when they are born. So, how can you compare? What's the havamina to compare trefa and temeya? And if there's no havamina, what? We're back to the question of both of the psukim are extra. So if you want to say, Rabbi Yehuda's source is the first pasuk, what does it do with the second pasuk? So we still have problems. So Ella Amar Rava. So Rava says, no. Hatorah Amra. Yavo Iser Nevela. V'yachal Iser Chelev. Yavo Iser Trefa. V'yachal Iser Chelev. That's what the pasuk is teaching me by putting Nevela and Trefa in that pasuk. To teach me that the Iser Nevela could be and Trefa could already be Chal on the Iser of Chelev. Right? So if this is what the second pasuk is teaching me, that you could have nevela and trefa, if you eat a chalev of an animal that was a trefa, you get two averes. If you eat chalev of an animal that was a nevela, you get two averes. That's what the second pasuk is teaching me. We're going to continue in a minute. And therefore what? Only the first pasuk is extra. If only the first pasuk is extra, that's Rabbi Yehuda's makar. That's what we've been trying to do this whole 20 last lines. It seems confusing, but it's basically saying, comparing the two psukim. There's one pasuk about Tumas Nevela, and there's one pasuk about Chelev.
nevela. So Rabbi Yehuda tried to learn it out from pasuk number one. So he kept saying, but then what does he do with pasuk number two? If you dash in pasuk number two like this, you have to dash in pasuk number one like that. And if you dash it like that, then there's no makar of Rabbi Yehuda. Then he said, no, maybe you dash it this way, maybe you dash it that way. But finally, this last stage of the Gemara is that this is what pasuk number two is teaching me. The extra words nevela and trefa in that pasuk. If this is true, which it's going to last, so then Rabbi Yehuda's first pasuk is open to teach Rabbi Yehuda's halacha that if you do malika to an oaf trefa, it is still tame. Still tame. Okay, Vitzrichi, let's just finish this statement. Vitzrichi, I need the pasuk to teach me that both nevela and trefa could be chal on the isser of chalev. Because otherwise, as we'll talk about more in a second, we have the principle of ein isser chal al isser. Generally, once something is usser, it can't become more usser. It's already usser to me. So usually you would have that without this pasuk. Vitzrichi, so you need both though. Why? If I only had the pasuk to tell me that nevela is chal on chalev, so maybe I would have thought only nevela mishum dimitamye, because nevela is a very serious isser. It even creates tumas nevela. Aval trefa imalo, but trefa in and of itself does not create tuma. Right? If I shech the trefa animal, it does a great tumah by a behema, according to everybody, so I would have thought maybe it's not chal, it's not strong enough to be chal on the Isser Chelev, the Yeshmin and Trefa, and if I would have only had Trefa, Mishum de Isser Mechayim, I would have thought that's more of an Isser, because that's already Usser when it's alive. It's already Usser from beforehand. Abel Nevela, aim alone, the Isser Nevela is only created as it dies, in a certain way. So I would have thought that maybe only Trefa could be chal, because it's already chal earlier. So Tzricha, that's why we need both psukim to teach me that Nevela and Trefa are both chal, period. End of Rabbi Yehuda's source. Rabbi Yehuda has source number one, pasuk number one, to teach me his halacha. So we're about to ask, what does Rabbi Meir do with that pasuk? But let us wait a minute to talk about this Isser. So we know the principle is, comes up in various places in Shas, Ein Isser Chal al Isser. Very important source related to that principle is the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayis in Maseches Krisus. The Rambam there in the third parak in Maseches Krisus has a long piece where he says, V'yesh kan klalim roish evarim l'cha b'kitzer. There are many rules here that let me explain. K'desh yuvnu l'cha b'hem, kol ha-babos halalo sh'perek says, you understand all of these halachas. V'hem, she'elu ha'asurim ha-rabim, ha'mnikbotzi b'davar echad. Whenever you have a lot of isurim in one case, lo yitachein ela b'echad mishlosha panim. There are only three ways, says the Rambam, that you could have two isurim that coincide and both exist. O b'kulam yachad, v'heim, iser mosif, v'iser kolel, v'iser basachas. Very organized, you saw this in Rambam. Generally, we say there's a principle of ein iser chalal iser. Something is usser to me, it can't become more usser to me. But if it is in one of these three exceptions, iser basachas, what does that mean? That means they both are chal at the same moment. Both are chal at the same moment. So then, that is an iser basachas. For example, the second that a person gets married, his mother-in-law is usher to him mishum mother-in-law and mishum eshesish. Right, it's an example of iser basachas. This iser to me is created at the. I'm sorry. That's an example of right. If the mother-in-law let me give another example. That was an example of another category. Because that case, she's ready usher mishum eshesish before I get married. Let's say she's single. If she's single at a certain moment, so then it's only usher mishum mother-in-law. Once she becomes an eshes ish, then she's usher to more people, as we'll see in a second. That's why it's a raw category. V'heim iser mosif iser kol iser basacha. Says the Rambam. Aval ein shum derech sheyachol iser al iser bezula shlosh shepanim alalu. There are no other exceptions. Kimin haklalim etzleinu ein iser chalal iser. These are the three exceptions, and by the way, only one of them is agreed upon l'kulei alma. Iser basachas, everybody agrees to. Iser mosif and iser kolel, those are machlokas. Machlokas in the Gemara, in the Rishonim, whether we hold of Isser Mosef and Isser Kolel. What is Isser Basachas is if it's Chal at the exact same moment. Something becomes Usser to me at the same moment of in certain cases. So, number one, what is that's Basachas. I'm not going to give an example to find the Rambam who gives an example. I'll find one in a minute. What about Isser Mosef Isser Kolel? So, at least according to the Rambam, how does he define those? The Rambam says Isser Kolel means more items included in the Isser. That's what Isser Kolel. It's more inclusive. For example, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, if something is usser to me, let's say a piece of treif. I eat a piece of treif on Yom Kippur. So that's usser, mishum, treif, and mishum Yom Kippur. Because the second Yom Kippur comes, all food in the world is usser to me. So because it includes more items, so too on this item that was already usser to me, it's more usser to me. Kivan shechal, all the other food in the world is also chal on this item. That's called an isser kolel. There are more items included. Isser mosif means this thing becomes more usser to me. Isser on the gavra. Let's say it become this item is more usser. First, I wasn't able to eat it, and now I can't even bring it as a carbon. Right? It becomes more usser to me. Right, so that's an isser mosif. It's husaf. It's added on this specific isser. V'chein gam achilav azeh sha'achal kodem she'i nosar ha'yimutu l'gavoa v'asa l'hedyor. V'kasher nasa nosar v'nesar l'gavoa itosa beinami isser l'inyin achila. Right, once something is usser and then it becomes nosar. It becomes nosar, so it's not only usser for me to eat, it's usser for me to bring as a carbon. So that's an isser mosif. That's the Rambam in terms of Ein Isser Chal Isser and the three exceptions. But then he adds what's known as the Rambam's Nekuda Nifla. What's the Nekuda Nifla? The first time I heard this, I think I mentioned this in the past, I heard this 21 years ago, for the first time, they said the Rambam and the Nekuda Nifla. I remember reversions I quoted it. I'm like, the Rambam in the Nekuda Nifla? What's that? Is that a separate sefer? Nekuda Nifla? No, Pirshim Shaisa Krisis, right here. Is that a separate sefer? The Rambam says, let me tell you a Nekuda Nifla. I don't know what he said. It was written in Arabic. But that's the translation into Hebrew, the Nekuda Nifla. And that is, says the Rambam, you will find sometimes that basar b'chalav cases are not included in Isser Mosif issues. Let's say something is usser, and then it becomes like chalev. Chalev is usser to eat. And then it becomes chalev b'chalav. The Rambam says, if you look at some sources, that doesn't become usser b'hana. Shouldn't that be an Isser Mosif? Isser Mosif, now usually only Asr Ba'achid, now it's only Asr Ba'ada. Says the Rambam, by Basav V'chalav, what does it say in the Torah? Lo Savashal Gadim Ba'chalevi Mo. It doesn't say three separate, don't eat it, don't get Hana, don't cook it. It says the same thing. Says the Rambam, the Isser Hana of Basav V'chalav is an outgrowth of the Isser Achila of Basav V'chalav. And that's why Basav V'chalav has different rules than other Isurim. That's the Rambam's Nekuda Nifla, that the Isser Hana comes out and flows out of the Isser Achila. Shabbat v'chalav lo neser ba'ana ela machmas sh'asur ha'kazav achilaso l'fi ha'klal shabi'arnu v'chulu. And therefore, even if Basav v'chalav has different rules than other Isurim, don't get confused, says the Rambam. Okay, that is the Rambam in Pirshei Rishayis and Krisus in Mishnah Dalet, I think this is it. Mishnah Dalet. Okay, anyway, but that's related to Isser Chalal Isser right here. So asks Tosfos with that background, you need this pasuk to tell me that Nevela and Chalev are Chal on the Isser. Nevela and Treif are Chal on the Isser of Chalev. Why don't you say, according to the Bada Amar of Isser Mosif, it's an Isser Mosif. You don't need a pasuk to teach me that. Tosfos Yimrasul Yavo. Tema. Lamad Isla Isser Mosif Lamale Kroi. But Chitem, what do you need the pasuk for? Isser Mosif. Chalev is only Asur to eat, and what about an Isser, and then once it's Nevela and Treifa, it is, Tosa doesn't explain. What happens when it's Nevela and Treifa? So Tosa and Chulin says it's an Isser Mosif, because that was Asur even to, as a carbon. You can't bring a Nevela and a Treifa as a carbon, while Chalev is burned on the Mizbeach. So now it's Asur L'Gavoa, that's why it's an Isser Mosif. Tosa and Yivamis says maybe now it's an Isser Kolel. So sometimes you have Rishonim that say, yeah, it's an exception, but what is it exactly? Let's just go with Tosfos and Chulin. So it's an Isser Mosif, so never had one even a pasuk. And then Tosfos says, maybe this is the source. So no, maybe not. Maybe this would be limited, because here the Isser of Chalev is Kal, the Hutu Michlalu. You have sometimes that Chalev is Mutter. Anyway, so Tosfos discusses why you need this pasuk to teach me Isser Chalev and Isser Nevela. And Isser Chalev and Isser Treifa, if you would have learned it out from Isser Mosif. Okay, we'll stop there regarding that discussion, and we will continue. But says the Gemara, V'Rabbi Meir, next section. V'Rabbi Meir, Hi Treifa Mayavile. So what did Rabbi Meir do with Rabbi Huda's Pasuk? That Treifa, Rabbi Huda, you used it to teach me, that Malika of a Treifa is still Tameh. What does Rabbi Meir do with that? Hamibayle Lemute Shchita Shilafnim. He excludes a Shchita, Shchitas Oaf inside, which is not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do Malika, so that Rameir would agree is Tami. Rabbi Yehuda, Treifa Achridiksiv. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it says Treifa twice. Rabbi Meir, Chalamute, Shchita Shilafnim, Chalamute, Oaf Tame. One excludes a Shchitas Oaf inside the base of Megdash, and one includes a non-kosher bird. That's excluded according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Mei Nevela Nafkaler. Rabbi Yehuda learns that from Nevela, the non-kosher bread as we had before. Rabbi Meir, Hai Nevela Mayavale, what does he use that for? L'shir Achila B'Kizayis. it has to be a kezias, shir achila of a kezias. That is what he uses it for. The tepek lebikar kame vidafkir achmana b'lashon achila. Why does he use the first pasuk? The first pasuk already uses a lashon of lo sochal. Chad l'shir achila b'kezias, v'chad l'shir achila b'chdei achilas pras. One teaches me that how much do you have to eat for Tumas Nevela, in Beis Abliya, you have to eat a Kezias, and the other one says that it's also subject to the rules of regular Achila, of Kedei Achilas Pras. Why? Salkada de Chabida, why do I need two Pesukim? I might have thought, Ho'el v'chidishu, since the whole principle of a bird, a kosher bird being Tabe, in Beis Abliya is a Chidish. What's the Chidish? What's the Chidish? That it's only Tame in your mouth. It's not Tame if you touch it, if you carry it, if it's in your tzeit tet, it's only Tame in your mouth. Like Rashi says, it's only balo beis ablia. So I would have thought that this is not a regular case of tumas achila, and therefore yoser meyakti achilas pras nami l'tame. Even if he takes you 45 minutes to eat it, it's the mitzius of it being in your mouth. Kamash malan. So this havamina maskana is very important, related to the sugya that we've touched on 3 or 4 times over the past 2 weeks, and that is this tuma of tumas beis ablia. Is it at root a Achila Toma, or is it a Nagia Toma? Is it that, looks like Tumas Nagia, but usually Tumas Nagia, if it touches any part of my body. Here, if it has to touch the inside of my mouth. So is it a fancy type of Tumas Nagia, or is it Tumas Achila? Maybe that's Gufa, the Havamina, the Maskana here. What's the Havamina? What the Chiddush is that you don't even need a Kedei Achila's Pras. Why? Because this is a Chiddush. It's not a regular Achila. It's just the Mitzius of this amount of a bird touching the inside of my throat. It's a Tumas Nagia. Kamash Malan. Kamash Malan, you need Kedei Achila's Pras. It's subject to the same rules. Meaning, maybe, maskana, it's an achila. It's an achila, and therefore, it's subject to the regular rules of achila. There is a machlokas achronim. Does it all have to be in my throat before I swallow it? That kezias? What if I digested some of it already? Right? It's here saying it has to be kedei achilas pras. So, does it have to be even more than kedei achilas pras? Because it's tuma bebeis hablia. So that is Machlokas, the Minchas Chinuch discusses that in Kuf Samachal of Ost Tezvav. He assumes that no, it's regular swallowing. That's the Maskana. But other Achronim are not so sure. That is the discussion. And then the Achronim say, well, what I have thought without the Pasuk, I would have thought maybe it's not a regular Achila, and it's only the Metzias of it in my throat. Okay. Good. I saw last night, we've always said Achila versus Nagia, there is a third possibility. The Orech Laner in Krisus on Daf Chaf Aleph says maybe it's Tumas Masa. Right? It's a Tumah of carrying. You have to carry it in your throat. Not carrying it in your, right? Because say that's a Nagia, it's easier to say that's a carrying than a touching. As you're carrying it in your throat. But anyway, that is his suggestion. You got to know if that works out well, because the Gemara talks about if you swallow it with a bird, let's say in a straw, so it never touches the inside of your throat. So, but the Rishon and the Rambam discusses that. Okay, let's continue. Tanu Rabbanan, new brisa. V'chelav nevela v'chelav treifa. What's with darshining psukim about nevelas and treifas? So let's darshin this one. V'chelav nevela v'chelav treifa. What is that pasuk teaching me? V'chelav behemah tahora kasa medaber. It's by chelav behemah tahora that it's tahor and it's not. There's no tumas nevela. Chelav does not have tumas nevela. So the Gemara says, "Ata Omer bechelav behemah tahora kasa medaber." Is this talking about the chelav of a kosher animal? And even though the behema by a kosher animal, there is tumas nevela by the meat, there is no tumas nevela by the chelav. Is that what the pasuk is teaching me? O enu ela bechelav behemah tameya, or is it teaching me about the chelav of a non-kosher animal? That we might have said that is not tame. So amart, so we say, tier, let's go through each of the sides. Tier mechlal shchuta, v'tier mechlal chelev. When you shecht a kosher animal, it's metaher something. So maybe you say the same thing by chelev. Ma kashe tier mechlal shchuta, b'tahor v'lo b'tameya. Av kashe tier mechlal chelev, b'tahor v'lo b'tameya. Just like when you shecht, it only helps by a kosher animal and not a non-kosher animal. So too, kashe tier mechlal chelev, it only applies by a kosher animal and not by a non-kosher animal. By a non-kosher animal, the chelav is tameh. And therefore, you darshit it like possibility one, chelav behema tahora. O klach l'derach zu. Or do we go to the other side? Tier michlal nevela v'tier michlal chelav. When you shech, it's metar midei, there is a case where shechita could get out of nevela. We're going to see on Amabez, that means nevelas of tameh. a non-kosher bird does not create tumas nevela, only a kosher bird. So, tier mechal nevela, you could have a case of a non-kosher animal being tar mechal nevela, but tier mechal chelev. Makja tier mechal nevela, bit tmeiv lo bit tahora. Just like when you say nevela is limited, you could come up with a case that applies to non-kosher animals and non-kosher animals. Ironically, by birds, kosher animals create nevela, and non-kosher animals do not create nevela. So basically, what is this pasuk of chelev nevela and chelev treifa teaching me? That the chelev is not tamei, so is that by kosher animals or non-kosher animals? So amart, if you say, kishabar b'derech zu, hi b'tahora, kishabar b'derech zu, hi b'tameya. So one way to darshan it is by kosher animals, and one way to darshan it is by non-kosher animals. So tamalomar treifa. That's how you have a suffix. What to how to understand the nevela pasuk, the word. So you say the next word is treifa. Misha yesh bimina treifa. So we say the pasuk is referring to a case which has the category, which has the concept of treifa by it, meaning otzi es hatameya. So I will exclude a non-kosher animal. She'ein bimina treifa v'lo otzi es achaya sheish bimina treifa. So I will exclude a non-kosher animal. At this point, I will include a kosher animal. That's what we say it's talking about. But I will exclude a non-kosher animal that does not have the category of treifa related to it, because it's already treif. Inherently, not because it became a treifa, but I would not exclude a chaya, because a chaya has been a treifa. So tamalomar, that's why you have the extra pasuk of achol tochluhu. As we alluded to before, this double usher of eat it, don't eat it. Misha chelba, aser, basara mutter, only cases. What's this case talking about? That there's no tumas nevela by an animal where its chelav is aser, but its basar is mutter. Yatsa chaya, shechelba, basara mutter. By a chaya, both chelav and basar are mutter. So that's why it's different. It's excluded from this pasuk, and its chelav would be tame, like its basar. Ironically, because its chelav is mutter, when you have a regular case of shechita, when you don't, when you have a treifa case, so then the nevela would not only be on the basar, but it would also be on the chelev. Period. Continuing the Gemara, Amalei Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba l'Rava, last line of this section, and then we get to a new, take a breath. Ela me'ata nevelas be'ema tahora hu debetama nevelas be'ema tamei lo matama. So you're going to tell me that the nevela of a kosher animal creates tuma, and the nevela of a non-kosher animal does not create tuma? Meaning, what was the whole suggestion on the bottom of the previous amud? We said tier mechlal nevela. So you already answered the question. But tier mechlal nevela sounds like you don't have nevela by a non-kosher animal. You don't have tumas nevela? The Gemara says, no. It doesn't mean in general. It means, amar lei kamasabi shabishto basefa. How many great elders, Zakenim, made a mistake about what the pshat is of that line. Shibashtaba. Seifa, asan l'nevelas of tame. No, it's specifically about non-kosher bird. Of course, a non-kosher animal, a behem and a chaya, create tumas nevela. But specifically about a bird. By a bird, that's what the lashon of the brisa meant, and that possibility. On the bottom of Amud Aleph, it meant that Tier Mechal Nevela was talking about Nevelas of Tameh by a non-kosher bird. Period. Okay, that's the end of that whole discussion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Got to go over it a couple of times to just know the psukim, but basically spoke about the first half was darshening the makor for Rabbi Yehuda, and the second part was darshening this extra brisa, what is the chelev coming to teach me there. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir's shita was, if I do malika of a treif bird, there is no tumas nevela. No tumas nevela. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Lo tiyer Rabbi Meir ela b'tzmimin. Rabbi Meir only said tahar by a tamim bird. Avo ba'ali mumin lo. But if it has other mumin, right, other mumin besides being a treifa, if it has other mumin, so then it is not going to be tahar. Not going to be tahar. What is a baal mum? Remember, by a bird, it's got to be mechusar aver, right? Because just a regular baal mum. Maybe this is interesting. It's taking a stand on that discussion in the Achronim. Is mechusar aver a type of mum or a new category? But here it calls it baal mum. Rabbi Elazar, I feel about baal mum. Rabbi says no. Even if it's a baal mum, still it will be matar bidei nevela. Itmar nami, amar abibar, amar abalazar. We had a Ram discussion related. Matar hari remeir b'bali mumin. Rabbi Elazar says, remeir allows, even by bali mumin, matar bidei nevela, va'afilu ba'avazin v'tarnagolin. Even by geese and chickens, which are, for sure, you don't have a greater mum than that, because these animals cannot be given on the Mizbeach, even if you're makdish a chicken, and you're molek it, in the Beis HaMikdash, that Rameir would say, there is no Tumas Nevela there. The Shiva Kubetza says, you can't create Kedushas Aguf by these animals. So it has to be, Rameir is saying it even by Kedushas Damim. You know, if there's just damim, maybe even the Shita says in Oz Gimel, I think it's Oz Gimel, he says even by chulin, malikas chulin according to Rabbi Meir. Because what would be the difference between the Kedushas damim, where it's not going on the Mizbeach anyway, if you include geese and chickens. By Rabbi Yirmiya, Araf Eiz Mahu. Once we're talking about whether malika is matar midei nevela by items that are totally not acceptable for a karban, let's go to a totally different halachic context. We know Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa, you got to take a calf down by the anonymous corpse is found and break the back of its neck. What if I didn't take a cow, but I took a goat? I was oref a goat, mahu. So is that an avela? Oref eiz mahu. Avazet v'tadagol ha'tayim amai. Why are geese and chickens, by Rameir Shita, included demina de'ofos denu? There are at least types of birds. Aval eiz de la mina de'egla denu. But a goat is not a type of a cow. And therefore you would say, it is tamim mishum nevela. O dilma mina de'behemahu. Or do you see the larger category of, it's an animal. It's a behema. So therefore you should say, obviously you did to the mitzvah of egla rufa, but there's no tumas nevela by that eiz. So Yazar of Dibi v'karbal al hashvait. So he said this over. So Abalei Abaya, what's the whole assumption? Mechlav de egla rufa ta'ori? It sounds like your whole assumption is that if it was a real egla, there for sure wouldn't be tumas nevela when you break its neck. But the only shaila is that that halacha applied by the eiz. Is that true? There's no tumas nevela by a regular case of egla rufa? So Amarlei, in. Correct. There is no tumas nevela. Even though normally if I break the neck of an animal, that's a nevela. That's a nevela. Here it's not a nevela, because you do exactly what Hashem wanted you to do. Amri debay ribyanai kaparak siv bakakachim. It says the lashon of vidni kaper lahem adam. So it is a form of a karban. And just like a karban is not metar tamim shum nevela, so too egla arufa. Fascinating. I thought there's a har about that, but let's just first continue. Masar Rav Nasan avua derav huna bar Nasan. We have our gersa, v'achalotachlu. We have the drash of achalotachlu that meant you can't eat chaylev. Ainly ela chaylev she'aser ba'achilu mutar bahana. This only teaches me of by chaylev that is normally only aser to eat, but it's mutar bahana. So then it says if it's an avela, it's also tameh. But chaylev shel shor haniskal ve'egla arufa minayin. How do I know even the chaylev of these two other animals that there's a mitzvah to do something to? A shor that killed somebody, they have to stone. And egla arufa minayin. Tamalomar kol chaylev. So too, that the pasuk includes that kol chaylev is also tameh. Also tameh. So says the Gemara, v'isakadaydech egla arufa tahorehi, hi tahor v'chelba tameh. You're telling me, this pasuk teaches me that the chaylev is tamei. So the basar of the egla rufa is going to be tahar, and the chaylev is going to be tamei. How could you suggest that? So the Gemara says, no. Wait. Heicha da'aref me'eref lo tzrichale. If you do the aruf, what you're supposed to do, there's no tumah there by anything. That's what we're talking about. Kaparak sibbeka kachim. Ki yitzricha heicha da'shachta mishchat. If you shechted it, I mean, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. You shechted it. That's what's under discussion here. And that's where you could say maybe that the basar is going to be tamei and the chaylev is going to be tahar. That's what we're talking about. So Gemara says, but v'tedi l'shchita l'tar b'dei nevela. Why would the basar be tamei there? If you did a shchita, it should at least be tahar b'dei nevela. So again, what would be the havah to say that the basar is tamei and the chaylev is tahar? So lo tzricha shemesa. You're right. Not that if you shechted it, if it died. If it died, you're about to do the arifa. And the animal dropped dead. That's a case where it wouldn't be tar, be dein avela. So where is it? Bichad, bichay, basura? What? It's already asur, bahana, what, mechayim, before you do anything? The Gemara says in, yes. Yes, it's asur right when you bring it down. Amri Rabbi Yanai, gvul shamati v'shachachti. I once heard a border. I heard that at some point the egla rufa becomes asur, even before you do the arifa. I forgot exactly what the point is. The Nasvein Chavrai Lameimar and my friends reminded me and said, Yuridasa Lenachal Esan Hi Osarta. Just bringing it down to the Nachal where you're going to do the Arifa, that itself already asers it Behana'a. So that's Egla Rufa. We just got into this a little bit by the discussion of Egla Rufa not being Mitzar Midei Nevela. Just one Ha'ara of the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch discussed this in a Sefer HaMitzvah Shir, Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Nun Beis. Mitzvah Nun Beis is the Isser of eating Shor HaNiskal. Eating a Shor HaNiskal. Shonocha Basa Shor HaNiskal Afilu Nishcha Karoi. Even if I shechted it. I shechted it. An animal that was killed somebody is aser ba'ana, even if I shechted. Ask the Menachas Chinuch in the last Os, in Os Tez Zayin there. I wonder, I don't understand why this should be aser. The Gemara says that when I push the Seir Lazazel off of the cliff, the Gemara uses the Lashon of Dechiyaso Letzuk Zui Shechitaso. When I push it off, that is its shechita. And Tosfos and Chulin extends this, that Egla Arufa, Arifaso Zuhi Shechitaso. L'may Nafgamina, you can't shecht a child of those animals the same day. Oso Vespinolo Sishcha Dubi Omechad applies to a daughter of the Seir Lazazel, it applies to a daughter of the Egla Arufa, because it takes the form of a shechita. So ask the Minchas Chinuch, why don't we say that Skilas Shor is its Shechita? And therefore, you should say it's Mutter. It's considered a Shechita. Why do we say that? Oh, it's also Bana. What's the difference, ask the Minchas Chinuch, between pushing the Tchiyaso Letzuk by the Seir Lazazel and Egla Arufa and Shor Anisko? And I'll throw in, those are the three he talks about. So why is it, by the first two, it's called a shechita for all intents and purposes, and therefore it counts as a shechita, and it is mutter bahana, let's say, and here, by the Shor HaNiskal, it's going to be aser bahana. That's his question. So one could suggest that there's a big difference between Shor HaNiskal and Egla Rufa and Tchiyaso Letzuk. The Tchiyaso Letzuk and Egla Rufa, those are avodos. Those are avodas that you're supposed to do. That, you know, one's outside the base of Mikdash, Egla Rufa, just like Kafar Ksibik Kachim, Shor HaNiskal. You're right. There's a mitzvah for Bezin. If this animal kills a person, you gotta stone it. But is that avoda? Is that Nechshav avoda? There's a big difference between the first two and in the case of Niskal. It's an Onesh or a Takala, but it is not avoda. So that's why that's not considered a Shechita, even though the other two are considered a Shechita. That's by Shor HaNiskal. The Gemara never says it by Shor HaNiskal. Tosfos doesn't say it by Shor HaNiskal. He only extends it to Egla Arufa, like our case, but not to the other cases. Okay, I guess we'll have to stop here. And I was going to talk more about Egla Arufa. We'll see tomorrow if there's extra time. As you see, the first Amud is only two lines. But this whole parak that we're coming to, Parak HaTaroves, as it's known, has small dafim and big tosfosim. It's all about tarovos, as we will, by the Shem, start talking about tomorrow. Okay, Chibi, is it up already? If the Shir Shechita Part 1, or Shechita Lavavodahi, was given last night, by the Shem Parsha Shir tonight, up on OU.org.